This, just thinking about things, and just imagine there was a, I don't know, a TV thing, and they were giving a lot of money away. I want you to imagine this, and this big giveaway was going up and down the country, giving anywhere between £1,000 and £10,000 away, and it was like a treasure hunt. You had to, if you came across the person and got the ticket, you might get £1,000, you might get £5,000, you might get £10,000. Right, just imagining this now. And this, the people who are giving this money out are moving around the country, sort of, so they're here and there, and they're not, they might be here for 2 days or 3 days, and then they're moving on somewhere else. And just imagining that I had been out for a run, and I'd gone through Tilgate Forest, and I saw one of these people giving out these tickets, and they were only there for maybe an hour, and I had a chat with them. I got my ticket, of course, and they said, oh yeah, they'll be here the next day. Just, I knew that, for an hour. And I came and told you that if you get to Tilgate between 10 and 12, you'll get one of these tickets for some money. What would you do? Now, wait a minute, I could be messing around. So, first of all, you just suddenly go, how do you know I'm not pulling your leg? And you're going to react upon, Dave is telling you this. Who would you rather hear it from, me or Viv? Anyway, because I was thinking about this. I was thinking, I've told you this, and would you all just get up in the morning and head into the forest looking? If I gave you a little map where he was, would you do that? Yes, no, you're not sure now, are you? You're wondering whether Dave's pulling your leg or not. So as I thought about this, there's a bit element of belief and trust going on. If you believe me, you're up for that £1,000, aren't you? If you don't believe me, you're staying in bed or you're doing something else. Right? So there's a that's faith. Do you trust Dave to be telling you the truth? You've seen it advertised on TV, you've heard about it. Dave says, actually, if you go up in the wood, Tilgate Forest, in the morning at 10 o'clock, there's a chap there and he'll give you the ticket. And you know about it, you've seen it on TV. Are you going to do it? Yes. Most of you are going to do it. So you get up in the morning and you look out and it's pouring with rain. Do you do it? It's pouring with rain. It's absolutely pouring down with rain. Do you go for it? Or do you say, ah, it's pouring with rain, I can't be bothered. Nah, I'm not going to bother. It's not worth it. Now, you're still thinking, Dave, is he telling the truth? Is it worth it to go out in the rain, even though, is Dave pulling my leg, or is it's worth it? Shall I take the risk? Do you take the risk going in the rain? Yeah, possibly. Or now then, you go off, you've got your umbrella, or maybe you haven't got your umbrella. I don't know how you would travel in the pouring rain. And you go up through the woods, you come across this big muddy, slightly flooded out bit on the trail in Tilgate Forest. Do you go through the mud and the water, or do you head home? You still go through the mud and the water? Is it worth it? Or do you go back? £1,000, maybe £10,000 is up for grabs here. Hopefully, those that are thinking, yes, it's worth it, I'll walk through that mud and that water, even if it's cold and wet. Oh no, there's a big hill at the end. The man's at the top of the hill, but he's just over the top of the hill. Can I be bothered to walk up the big hill at the end? I'm tired. Am I going to bother the big hill? Yes, I'm going to go up that big hill to get the prize. And the journey of faith that we're in is a little bit like that. The journey of faith, the walk of faith, is like that. It's like, first of all, do you believe? Do you believe? You say, yes, I believe you, Dave, I believe. Are you going to walk out in the rain? Nah, can't be bothered to get £10,000. It's not, you don't believe, do you? If you can't be bothered to go out, you're probably thinking, I don't really believe you. And this is the message of faith and living by faith and the trials that come with it. See, it's not like, oh, the ticket's coming to my door. The journey of faith is that you believe. Do I trust Dave? Maybe not. You'd ring Viv and ask her. But she would only be giving you what I've told her. You'd have, if she told you, you would be trusting that I've told her that she's telling you. And that's fair enough. But you'd still be trusting her then, wouldn't you? She'd give you an honest answer. But you'd still act upon it. Would you stay in bed, though? Or would you go for it in the rain? If you knew... If you really...
If she told me it was true...
Yes? You'd go. See, now, that's faith. See, that is what faith is about. You haven't actually seen it. You haven't seen the man. You haven't been up there. And you actually trust in somebody else. But you believe it's true. You're going to put the effort in... to do it. And that's what faith is about. It's being certain. Well, maybe he's pulling my leg, but maybe it's true. Viv, oh yeah, she wouldn't mess me around like that, would she? I'm going to go for it. You haven't actually seen it though. You haven't been there. I haven't got a ticket. I didn't show you my ticket. I cashed it already. So you're acting upon what I've said. That's what the Bible talks about faith. It's acting upon what you believe to be certain. So you live it. So then the Bible says, in all this, there will be trials. Trials. There will be discipline in all this. And when I said you woke up and it's raining, because if it was you woke up and it was a glorious sunny day, you'd think, well, I'll get a walk out of any anyway. But we're actually told that in our Christian walk, there will be trials. It doesn't say it's always going to be a sunny day and, hey, you've got nothing to lose. There's trials. And I'd like to read through 1 Peter. And then I'm going to just carry on. 1 Peter, let's go from... I'll start from the beginning. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect. And we've already had this before, haven't we? Strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia. That's just all around Broadfield. I could put Broadfield in there, because they'd be talking to you as well. So let's put that in there. Pontus, Galatia, Broadfield, Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is cleaning you up for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. That's what Caroline's thoughts for the week. He has given us new birth into a living hope. Your hope, when I was telling you, is that you're going to get that 10,000 up in the woods. See? But this is a much bigger hope that we've got. So you have hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus rose, so we shall rise. There's the hope. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, you will be raised from the dead. There's the hope. That you will live forever. There's the hope. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. So this kept in heaven for you. So there's an inheritance that's waiting for you. Not only are you going to be raised from the dead, you're going to have an inheritance that will last forever, and it doesn't fade away. It's not like paper money or anything like that. That will go out of fashion or in a fashion or whatever. It's something that's eternal, and it's waiting. Kept in heaven for you, who through faith, now this is you, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Shielded by power. Do you think of that? Does that mean that God shields you from everything bad that's going to happen? It could sound like that. You could think, oh, God's got this big force field above me that's going to protect me from anything happening. Well, actually, this it's this power of love that is protecting you for salvation if you follow him. Because the next bit is, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So it's obviously not that God is going to protect you from all kinds of trials. So you've got to go out in the rain. You've got to walk through the mud. You've got to get up that big hill. You see? To get to the goal. But it's a promise that is a guaranteed promise. grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, your faith is worth more than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise. So unless you walk out that door and walk up to the woods and get your prize, if you say in bed, oh yeah, I believe you, Dave, but oh, hey, I'm staying in bed. You haven't proved that you believe, have you? But when you get out and walk and you get up there and you get that ticket at the end and you get your money, you've proved that you believe me. You proved that you had that faith. And as we walk the faith, walk the life of faith through trials, through difficulties, we're showing that we actually believe in the actions that we take. But what these kind of trials, now, the funny thing is I wanted to talk about trials and discipline and all this kind of hardship, and I feel like I'm not the best person to do it. Mr. Running Through the Meadows. You know, in some ways I feel like I'm not the best person to talk about trials and hardship. There's better people qualified than I am. But he does say that you will have trials. Trials can come in all sorts of ways. And what I'd like you to think about this morning, if we got a little bit of time at the end, we'll share perhaps one or two, if you can think about trials that you've come through that have made you stronger. See, when you go through a trial, it's a bit like exercising. It's a little bit like training. God's discipline, we talk about discipline. You could think of it as God whacking you with a big stick. But it's not necessarily like that. See, discipline can be like this. You're training for an event. You discipline yourself to do the training. If I sign up for an event, I think, and if it's the harder the event, the more I have to discipline myself to train for it. So if I think I'm going to have to cycle 60 miles through hills, what do? I get out on my bike as much as I can. I discipline myself to do it. That's discipline. If you've got exams coming up, how do you discipline yourself? You can revise. You don't have to, but if you discipline yourself to revise, chances are you're going to do better. That's the discipline that God, he disciplines us. He guides us and helps us, gets us in the right way. You know, you can't, if you just randomly turn up for your exam, never gone to a lesson, what's going to happen? He's going to fail. And discipline doesn't mean necessarily a big stick. It just means learning in life and growing through it. He's growing us, training us. And so I used to take the boys out, and I used to find this real nasty hill, the worst one I could find, and I'd make them run up and down it. That's what I'd do. For cross country, I'd say, right, we've got hard runs up here, boys. Run up it. We're going to do five of these. Yeah? Walk, run up it, walk back down. Run up it, you know, army style. And they do it, you know, they run up it, walk back down, run up it. And I do it myself sometimes. Why is that? Because it'll give them a stronger mind and a stronger body to get through the event. See, a stronger mind and a stronger body. See, because not only is it your body, it's your mind has to get you through. In fact, the mind is probably the important bit, because the mind gives up. So when I sent you out into Tilgate looking for that money, it's raining. I can't be bothered. I get wet, cold, horrible. Go back to bed. Oh, muddy, wet bit. Oh, I'm going to get my feet wet. But by the time, once you've got that money, you've got home and you've had a shower and all that, you forget about that and you're laughing, aren't you? And the mind is the bit that gets you through. And the troubles that we go through strengthens our mind. And different trials are there, and it depends how we deal with a trial as to how we can cope in the future. Some things will build our faith. So I was trying to think for myself, and years and years ago, I used to do tree work, and I'd climb up a tree, and I'd use a chainsaw up a tree. And sometimes I'd think, wow, this is dangerous, you know. If that branch goes wrong, I'm squashed. Because up a tree, you had no, there's no way out bar down. And when I'd get back to earth, I was very glad I was alive. And I appreciated life. And another time, I had a motorbike, and I used to do about 50 miles a day and use a chainsaw as well. And I thought to myself, God, it doesn't get worse than this, does it, as far as danger. Some people would think this is dangerous. It's dangerous riding motorbikes. They'd say that, yeah? It's dangerous. People, oh, don't ride a motorbike. It's very dangerous. You fall off, you're dead. Oh, you're using a chainsaw. Oh, one slip with that and you cut your foot off or you cut your head off. Yeah? And they're quite nasty like that, the chainsaws. If you use one, it's really sort of a mean machine. And I thought, wow, I live a real, potentially a lot of, there's a potential for a lot of harm here in each day I live. But I really made me appreciate the life I have. I was talking to Ed yesterday on the phone about it, and I was just saying, you know, things like that make you appreciate. I used to appreciate getting back onto the ground after I'd been up a tree with a chainsaw. I appreciated life. It made you just enjoy life more. You valued it a lot more just from that bit of hardship, that bit of risk that I went through. That's not much of a hardship by some people's standards. And some people's hardship might not feel like hardship to me, and some of my hardship might feel hard. I don't know. Different things come to put us under pressure. Sometimes God teaches us a lesson in it. You know, and you have to, there's different ways we can respond to hardship and trial. And in Hebrews, it says, many have gone run this race before us. Many have gone ahead of us. And there's a great crowd, and it's talking about faith. The people that have gone before us, who have lived by faith. You read the whole chapter on faith, and then it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses who have already run the race of faith, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles us. These things can get hold of you and drag you down. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. See, he had to go through that trial of the cross. For the hope that he had, he endured it, endured the cross. And it's shame, because it was really in shame to be put on a cross with no clothes on and everyone looking at you, and then you're dying there. It was the most shameful death. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So if he did it, we can do it. Jesus did it, you can do it. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted. How many of you have resisted to the point of death? See, Jesus had to go to death. None of us, I don't think, has had to go to the point of death. Not quite yet. Have you resisted to the point of shedding your blood? And you have forgotten the word of encouragement, the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. So he's talking about you of being a son of God. He loves you so much, you've got to go for it. Endure hardship as discipline. For, you know, a father disciplines his children. But like I say, it doesn't mean necessarily just giving you a big whack. It's trying to get you to be able to do things. And then it talks about disciplining and getting you there and helping you, because a father wants them, his children, to do it. So as we go through hardship as discipline, and we go through it, trials, hardship, discipline, our response can be moan, complain, grumble, give up. There's a response to it, isn't it? Hardship. What do? We moan, we complain, we grumble, we give up. There's 10,000 in the woods there. Oh, no, it's raining. Oh, you must be kidding. As if I'm going to get wet and horrible. Moan, grumble. Oh, it's pouring with rain. You must be kidding. Oh, I'm going to get wet. Yeah, I must be out of your mind if you think I'm going to get out there in that rain and get wet for that. Oh, there's a big, massive hill. Oh, you must be kidding. My heart rate's up enough. I'm going home. I've had enough. I've had a guts full. See, moan, complain, grumble, give up. Is that our response to difficulty? Well, if we have... I was trying to think of... sometimes we can... God wants to bring us away from bad lifestyle choices, bad living, all these things. You know, I sometimes go to a swimming club and they're teaching us how to swim, you know, more trying to refine us. And sometimes I think, hang on, it's like teaching an old dog new tricks. And it takes a lot of training an older person to get it to change. But God wants us to be as efficient as possible. And sometimes we have to keep learning. If we're slow learning, we have to do the same old, we might go through the same old hardship because we're not listening to God. So some things are repeated over and over, and you think, why am I going through this again? And you haven't learned from the first time. God's saying, but look, I'm trying to teach you something here. Well, that's not fair. Why am I going through this? It's just wrong. Why am I? Why, God, why are you picking on me? Now, and sometimes there's a lesson for us to learn. Not saying this always, but... So what I'd say is, God wants us to improve. When I go to swimming, sometimes they tell me something and I think, oh, I'll try that. I'll try that. Oh, I'm going faster. Good. And... So what we can do, this can be the next step. You're going through hardships. We can moan. We can pray. We can complain. We can pray. We can grumble. We can pray. And we can get through. So that's a step, isn't it? So we've gone from moan, complain, grumble, give up. There's one step. Now we've gone to moan, pray, complain, pray, grumble, pray, get through the situation. That's probably more like it. Does that sound more like it? Yeah? And then what would be nice is to slowly reduce the moan, the complain, and the grumble and have a bit more pray, 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 and possibly talk to someone else. See, sometimes it's helpful just to talk to somebody who might be able to help you out. But instead of just moan, complain, grumble, give up, we'll move to moan, pray, complain, pray, grumble, pray. Oh, I got through it. And let's learn from it. Let's look, when you pray, it's not necessarily God, get me out of this. It could be, God, why, or what can I learn from this? What can I learn from? If you ask, what can you learn from it? It's going to be a good. That's going to be a very good prayer to pray. That's probably better than saying, get me out of this. And it's probably better than why. But if you pray, what can I learn from this? That's probably your best prayer to ask God, because God's trying to help you. And what he wants is your ears. So when you're in a difficult situation, what can you learn? Lord God, yeah, it's a mess. I'm stressed out. What are you teaching me? What can I learn from you? There's your best prayer. So let's do a bit of that prayer and get through. And then learn from it. Learn from it. You've got through it. Then you think, oh, I got through that. God got me through it. Next big trial comes. Are you back? You don't go jump straight back to moan, complain, grumble, give up. Now we can go, well, I got through that one. Thank you. Thank you, God. Here's the next big headache. And that's how it is. But we are told that we're going to have difficulties. And there's all sorts of difficulties. And I'm not going to say much more because I wonder if any of you have got any testimony, any little short story of a trial or discipline or hardship and a little lesson that you, either you just came through it with prayer or a lesson that you learned. I don't know if anyone can think as too quick. I don't know if I would be able to think quick enough, like just being put on the spot like that. I'd be like, oh man, I've gone blank. But if any of you can think of something, it'd be nice to hear of perhaps where you've gone through a hard experience or a difficult experience, or what you found was a bit of a trial, and maybe did you learn anything from it? Father, we thank you that you have a great plan and a great purpose for all of us here and forever. And you are preparing us and building us and growing us. And you want to see us complete. And Lord, you see us go through difficult times. Help us, Lord, to call on you, to put our faith into action, to listen to what you're telling us in our walk, in our faith walk to glory. Help us to call on your name when we are struggling. Turn to you when we're struggling. Put ourselves at your mercy when we're struggling to get us through that difficult situation, Lord, and to grow in the knowledge of you and in our understanding of you and in our relationship with you, Lord. We'd ask that you would help us through this coming week, through whatever situations we find ourselves. Help us to turn our eyes and keep our eyes fixed on you, the one who saves. In Jesus' name, amen.